Great to see everybody out this evening. In 1989, the first Palestinian uprising against the Israeli military occupation. Soldiers came to a poor village near Bethlehem and demanded the people to pay taxes that they were avoiding. Such taxes, these people argued, simply financed their occupation. To punish the village, the officer in charge rounded up all the village's animals, chiefly sheep and goats, and placed them in a huge barbed wire fence or pen. In a famous incident, a poor woman came to the officer begging that her animals be released. Her husband had been imprisoned, and her animals were all that she had. The Israeli laughed, saying that finding her 12 animals inside a pen of thousands would be impossible. But she argued, if she could identify those 12 and get them out without disruption, could she? Well, he was intrigued, and he gave in to her request. The woman brought forward her 10-year-old boy, her son. He stood at the now open barbed wire gate and pulled out a flute and began to play a little tune. Suddenly, sheep began looking up from every corner of the pen. Continuing to play, the boy began walking away, and before long, 12 sheep were at his heels, following him home. The Israelis were so impressed, they broke into applause, shut the gate, and announced that no one else could try that trick. This boy was a good shepherd. He knew his sheep, and his sheep knew him. Psalm 23. Tonight, we'll be looking at Psalm 23. Talking about the shepherd this evening. Psalm 23. A psalm of David. No doubt there, it's a psalm of David. It says, superscription, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Familiar psalm, isn't it? Beloved of Christians and believers for thousands of years. It's been said it's the pearl of the Psalms, Psalm 23. Another man has said that this psalm is set like the center diamond in a three-stone ring, Psalm 22 being the good shepherd dying for the sheep, Psalm 23, the great shepherd caring for the sheep, and Psalm 24, the chief shepherd coming for the sheep. Psalm of David, we don't know what time in his life that he wrote this psalm. Some feel it's when he actually was a shepherd caring for his family's sheep. Or it could be later in his life after having gone through trials and tribulations, victories and successes, and looking back and seeing his great shepherd leading him all those years. In any case, and nonetheless, David as a shepherd, he certainly could relate to what he's speaking about here. And the metaphors that he's using in this passage are very accurate, according to the times that he was writing and also his own experience as a shepherd. And recognizing that the Lord is the shepherd, he recognized that even though he was one himself, the Lord is the greater of the shepherd. And he may be a shepherd of the people of Israel, the king. He recognized that there is one who is a greater king than him, and he acknowledged the Lord. Now, I'm an auditor. I'm not a shepherd. So my experience with sheep is limited to observation and reading books, and such as Phil Keller's book, Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, a very popular book. So maybe things I say tonight, some of you may be more have more experience in this than me, and you may come up to me later on and give me some insight into the lives of sheep and being a shepherd. But it's a wonderful study to see how the Lord pictures us as sheep, and He is our shepherd. One man is outlined like this: the secret of a happy life, verses 1 to 3. The secret of a happy death, verses 4 and 5. And verse 6, the secret of happy eternity. I'll be looking at it with 3 points as well this evening. First, the shepherd provides for us. The shepherd provides for us, verses 1 to 3. The shepherd protects us, verses 4 and 5. And then, lastly, the shepherd preserves us, verse 6. Provision, protection, and preservation. And I'm indebted to a man named Mark Copeland for giving me a seed thought on my outline this evening. And we begin by, in terms of the Lord's provision, the shepherd's provision, David could extol and expound the fact that the Lord is his shepherd. And that is in itself a very profound statement, isn't it? Because it's, you notice it's the capital L-O-R-D in our Bible. It's the Lord. It's the all-sufficient one. It's the one who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, a shepherd as well, and revealed himself as the great I am. The I am that I am has sent you to deliver my people Israel. This great and true God that David is addressing is his shepherd. He's not saying the Lord is a shepherd or the shepherd or their shepherd. He's my shepherd. You can just imagine the heart of David when he penned this. He would be overwhelmed with the fact that the Lord is his shepherd. And by implication, David here was considering himself to be a sheep, to be under the provision and the care of his shepherd. And it's a fitting illustration. And again, what I've read about sheep isn't a very complimentary thing to be compared to a sheep. They aren't intelligent. They're weak. They don't have any defense systems of themselves. They must be led gently. They get dirty, and they will not clean themselves up unless someone else does. They're fearful. They're weak. They have a herd mentality. And they're really dumb animals, I guess. How else to say it? They're really dumb animals. And even in Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." But the success of the sheep and the strength and the safety and the well-being and the security of the sheep has its due to the shepherd. If the sheep has a good shepherd, that makes all the difference in the world. Because the sheep will be well cared for if the shepherd cares for the sheep and loves the sheep. It's interesting, I've read that the Bible makes reference to sheep no less than 220 times. I'm not going to refute that statement, but what an amazing thing that what a picture that we see over and over developed in the scriptures of the shepherd and the sheep. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Now this picture of the Lord being our shepherd continues in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He's considered to be the shepherd as well. The shepherd. In John 10, he's called the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And continuing on, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We have the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. And then we see in Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So we see the great shepherd laying down his life, raised again on the third day in the resurrection power. And he is the one who manages the sheep. He oversees. He's concerned with the well-being of the sheep. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. And so the chief shepherd gives a crown of glory to all of his under-shepherds at his appearing in kingdom. We have a great shepherd, and the Lord is our shepherd, those that know him. And David could continue by saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or to say it, I lack nothing. All my needs are taken care of by the shepherd. Again, sheep is not able to really provide for itself food and drink and well-being and safety. It depends wholly upon its owner, its master. We as human beings have many, many things that we need, many things we lack outside of ourselves, physical needs, emotional needs. But I think, and the Lord takes works those things out in our lives, but I'm thinking specifically of the heart need. Solomon could say that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And it's true that we all have a cry and a need for God in our lives. God has placed that desire to worship him in our hearts. And it becomes so skewed. We try to fill that with things in this world. The world tries to satisfy itself with all things, whether they be bad, drugs and alcohol and all those things, and crime and greed and money, or good things, family and career and volunteer work. All those things, they try to fill that eternity in their hearts that God has placed. And we even as Christians can get caught up in not recognizing the satisfaction that only comes through the shepherd, that we will only lack when we come to the shepherd. Psalm 145:16 says, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The world is fleeting, but those of us who know the shepherd know that he is the one who we can say, I shall not want. I lack nothing. A little girl had learned Psalm 23:1 in Sunday school, but she had slightly misquoted it as, the Lord is my shepherd. I've got all I want. But even though she misquoted it, she got it right, didn't she? If you have such a one as the Lord as your good shepherd, then you can truly say, I've got all I want. I've got all I want. And what are the needs being met here? In verse 2, we see it. We see that the shepherd is providing for the needs of the sheep. He's providing the food in the green pastures. He's providing the drink by the still waters. It's interesting how the Bible really gives a spiritual sense of food and drink. Hebrews 5, it talks about the solid food for the mature believer. John 6, it talks about the Lord Jesus being the living bread coming down from heaven, who is a greater than that could satisfy much more than the manna that came down from heaven that the Israelites enjoyed. The Lord Jesus said in John 4 that, my meat is to do the will of God, my Father who sent me. And then for drink, we see that John chapter 4 and chapter 4 and 7, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he could say to the woman at the well that if you drink of this, drink of me, the water that I give you, you should never thirst again. Ezekiel 26:25 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your unrighteousness, all your uncleanness, and from all the idols I will cleanse you. Paul, writing a letter of Ephesians, he could say that the church, Christ died for the church, and he cleansed it by the washing of water by the word. So the shepherd makes it possible for the sheep to lie down in green pastures. He provides the conditions so that the sheep can lie down in peace. He provides the satisfaction and the need that is there. For a sheep to lie down means he is satisfied. One man says, to sit down is to be at rest, but to lie down gives the idea of full, perfect, refreshing rest. The sheep need green pastures continually for food. The sheep cannot do this of itself. It needs the shepherd to provide, to be able to manage where the pasture is going to be, where the next pasture is going to be. Depending on the time of day, the time of year, it depends upon that shepherd. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And he brings those sheep by the still waters, by the still waters. He's the one who finds the still waters for the sheep to drink. And this whole thing really pictures for us a journey. It repeats over and over again. He's leading. Walking through the valley. It's a picture of the shepherd providing for the sheep, managing his affairs, moving him along so that he has his needs taken care of, ensuring sufficient food and water and safety. Listen to this. Those who have visited the undeveloped lands of the Bible will know just how unusual this picture is. At best, the land is a dry, rocky set of rolling hills, covered with a sparse and a tough grass. Water sources are few and often seasonal. Shepherds had to be ready to take their flocks on long migrations from one source of grazing and water to another. The shepherd had to be in the game, focused on what he's doing, managing the needs of that sheep. He couldn't be off distracted with something else. He had to be focused. That's the good thing. That's one of the characteristics of a good shepherd. He's focused on the sheep. Why? Why is the concern of the shepherd for the sheep's well-being? We see it in verse 3. He is restoring the soul. He's restoring that sheep. Every time that little animal has been provided for with food and drink, it's restored, isn't it? It's restored. And David is likening his own soul to this sheep. The Lord is restoring his own soul. He's bringing him back. He's refreshing him. He's returning. Returning to what? In the book of Revelation, to the Ephesian church, the message was, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Come back to your first love. Return to your first love. Be restored. And that was David's heart here. It says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And the shepherd was leading the sheep in the paths of righteousness. Again, leading on a journey in the path of righteousness. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, that the early Christians were accused of following the way. They were the sect of the Nazarenes. They were following the way of Christ, the way of this Jesus. And the book of Acts 9:2, and this is referring to Saul, in desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. So we have the way of the cross. We have the way of Christ. And the shepherd is leading in the paths of righteousness. He's not pushing. He's not driving. He's not forcing. like you would with cattle or another kind of animal. He's leading. He's leading. Leading in the paths of righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ. Those that know him, we have the righteousness of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 176 says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He's leading in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. For his reputation. His reputation as a good shepherd is at stake. He's leading on the paths of righteousness. It's interesting, speaking about the reputation of God. When God was dealing with Moses on the Mount of Sinai, and he took such a long time that the people of Israel were fed up with Moses. We don't know where this man is. Aaron was trying to appease the people. Okay, let's make an idol, and this is the God we're going to serve who brought us out of Egypt. And the anger of God was so fierce and so hot that he sought to destroy these people who he had recently delivered. And Moses stands in the gap. Moses pleads. He intercedes for his own people. He petitions to God not to destroy his people. And he says in Exodus 32, then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them and to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. What a bold prayer. What a bold prayer that Moses gave to God. Because he recognized that God's reputation was at stake. If God were to destroy his people that he had just released with a mighty hand, then the word would get out to the Egyptians, wouldn't it? Oh, this God who did mighty in deeds and all these plagues that came upon us, he was too weak to deliver these people. He was too weak. No, God's reputation is sacred. And so Moses was appealing to God on behalf of his reputation, that he's not too weak to deliver his people. And so the shepherd is leading his sheep in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One man says this, but why? Why does the shepherd pursue you and me with goodness and mercy? What is the shepherd's motive behind all this provision? As much as it might burst our bubble of earthly shepherds, we must admit, and so would they, that they are in the business of shepherding, not because of some altruistic concern for sheep, but they're in it for the wool sweaters. They're in it for the pork chops. But not so with God. His motive is spelled out in verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's motive is to display the honor of his name. And there's nothing that will better display his honor, his character, his glory, his all-sufficiency than to overflow in goodness and mercy toward needy sheep like people like you and me. Isn't it so true? His name is to be honored. And that's the shepherd providing for us. And it continues with the shepherd protecting us in verse 4. Verse 4, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. How many funerals of believers have had this verse referenced in the context of their funeral? Walking through a valley to get to a higher ground. One man says the phrase the valley of the shadow of death most likely refers to deep ravines with sharp cliffs. And it was not at all uncommon in Palestine for a shepherd to have to travel through one of these dark ravines where danger was imminent, either from the cliffs themselves or from animals hiding and waiting for their prey in order to get to another food source. And so the shepherd is leading through this valley in the shadow of death with the enemy there, potentially danger lurking in this place. What are the enemies of the soul? You know, the enemy of the sheep are predators like wolves and jackals and lions in that part of the world, at least. What are the great enemies of our soul, our flesh? Our flesh. Our heart is desperately wicked. The devil, the great accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God day and night. We have the world which loves not the Father, has not the love of the Father in it. Those are the enemies that we as sheep face walking through this life. But the sheep could say, I fear no evil. Even though I'm in danger, potentially, the shepherd is watching out for me. How do I know that? Because he's with me. And there's the rod and the staff. The rod and the staff, they're comforting. What's the rod? The rod is for protection. It was to beat off attacking animals. Keep the enemy at bay. We have the staff, which was for the comfort of the sheep. My readings that the staff could be used for to gently lift a newborn lamb to its mother, or to reach out and catch a sheep, to draw it close to the shepherd, or to guide the sheep, to put the staff against its side and guide it, or to free it from thorns and thistles and wild vegetation, or to keep it from falling off the cliff. So that rod and the staff are there to comfort the sheep in the midst of going through that place of danger, potential danger. And it's interesting, if you look at the latter part of verse 4 and compare that to the first three verses, you know, he's switching from third person to second person. He was talking about, in the first three verses, he's talking about he leads me, he comforts me and all those things, but now David's switching to you. You are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I think that this really struck a chord with him, that whatever situation he was going through when he wrote this psalm, when he started to write verse 4, it really spoke to him, because he switched from the Lord being, you know, his shepherd, to the Lord being my shepherd. And the shepherd is protecting David. And that continues when, again, in the picture of the enemies in verse 5, preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, some people feel that here's a shift in the picture, that this is actually talking about, no longer talking about a shepherd, but talking about a gracious host at the table having fellowship in the midst of turmoil around. That's possible, but it's possible also that this is still referring to the shepherd, because a table simply means something spread out. And it's possible that it could be just a plateau. In other parts of the world, a plateau on a hillside is called a table. It's a table. It's just a flat place where the sheep are grazing. And so if that's the case, in the midst of all the chaos and all the turmoil and all the enemies that are around, the sheep are safe. And in the midst of that situation, he's taking care of them. He's managing them. He's looking out for their well-being, a place of protection from the enemies. It says in Psalm 78:19, yea, that's they that spake against God, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. And the sheep had his head anointed with oil. Again, depending how you look at this picture, whether it be, you know, oil in the scriptures could have a medicinal purpose, like the Good Samaritan, or a special calling when Samuel anointed David to be king with the oil. Or if we want to look at the shepherd picture, it was an interesting that I read in that book. I guess insects in this part of the world are just terrible for sheep. I mean, just absolutely maddening. And it can really cause a sheep to just harm themselves, or even to the point of killing themselves, to have relief from insects. And this writer here was talking about even today, he prepares an oil-based mixture that he puts over the sheep to protect it from insects, to drive away the insects, to give it some peace, some relief. So his head is anointed with oil to give peace and safety and security and tranquility. And in so much so, the cup is running over. And oil is speaking, of course, a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. He is available in abundance. He's available in abundance, leading us in the paths of righteousness. The shepherd provides for us. He provides the green pastures and the still waters. He protects us from the enemy, and he also preserves us. He preserves us. In verse 6, David starts by saying, surely. It's a sure thing. It's a verily. It's a truly. It's an absolutely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. One man has said this: goodness takes care of my steps, and mercy takes care of my stumbles. He reassures himself that he is under the sound, sympathetic, intelligent ownership of the shepherd. The sheep was in a place of safety, in a place of security, under the protection of the shepherd. You know, being a sheep under the protection of a good and loving shepherd made all the difference in the world. If you were under the protection of a harsh shepherd, well, you were miserable. For one thing, they're gonna run away when the enemy comes. If you're, you know, Lord talks about in John 10 about the hired shepherd. He's not gonna stick around when the enemy comes. The sheep are gonna be vulnerable. A bad shepherd is not going to take care of the food and the drink. He's not going to lead them. He's going to drive them. He's not going to be concerned with whether they're at rest or at peace. He's not going to be concerned about insects and all those things. No, they're just looking for vain reasons. That sheep is just simply to bring me some income. The shepherd doesn't really care for the sheep. But David is saying, I have a good shepherd. I have a good shepherd. We that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are in that place that David is talking about here. Goodness and mercy following us. All the days of my life. And that wonderful state that he was in will continue forever. Will continue forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the temple wasn't in existence at that time. You know, the physical manifestation of God's presence in the nation of Israel. What was the place to dwell in the house of the Lord? I really think that David was talking about in heaven, the being with God. What does it mean for the sheep? What does it mean for the sheep that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? He's going to bring us home. He's going to bring us home. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the promise of God. David looked after the shepherd to bring him home. He was looking for eternity. What are some characteristics of a good sheep, a good shepherd? A good shepherd needs to know how to find food in the wilderness. A good shepherd must be able to locate water in the wilderness. A good shepherd knows his directions. He's not going to lead his sheep astray. A good shepherd knows the wilderness and the dangers that are out there. And even more than that, a noble shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. He knows each one. Just as that boy you read about in the beginning, he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. And the other thing about the noble shepherd is he's willing to lay his life down for the sheep. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He laid down his life for dirty, dumb animals like us. It's amazing. It really is amazing to think about. It's very profound. Six verses, but what rich content there is. The shepherd provides for us. The shepherd protects us. And the shepherd preserves us until we get home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your love for us that speak to us still today, many, many hundreds of years after this was written, and David is pouring out his heart to you, just rejoicing in your provision for him. And we look at it today, and we just rejoice as well that we have the great hope that he had back then. We have the great hope through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, and our chief shepherd, and that he is the one who will bring us to heaven. He was the one who will bring us home, and that work you began in us will be completed. We pray, Father, that you give us grace as we go about our daily activities this week. Bring us back together again, we ask. Bring us home safely, too. In Jesus' name, amen.